I don't actually be afraid. I'm not afraid of looking like an idiot in front of you guys. But I am terrified to tell you wrong things about God. So ultimately, you will listen to whatever has the most influence in your life. Just like that video said. You will be influenced by certain things in your life, and you will sort them out based on how worthy they are to you, how important they seem to you. Young people, this is why your friends have so much influence in your life. They have pull in your life, and you will do whatever your friends are doing, so choose them carefully. Adults, this is why when your neighbor mows, you feel pressure. All of a sudden, it's important. But you will be influenced by people that you look up to. You will be influenced by people you respect, people that fit into a category in your brain that they have it figured out. They're just one notch better. And for whatever reason, you let them influence you. You put them into a category that you will listen to them. You put them into a category that I will let you speak into my life. And so what I want to say is that everyone obeys something, whether they admit it or not. Everyone obeys something, whether they admit it or not. You have some authority above you that you obey, whether you admit it or not. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. That's where we're going to be. Mark chapter 11 happens on a Wednesday. Okay? By Friday, Jesus is dead. And if you remember, last Sunday, what we talked about happened on Tuesday. Now we're talking about Wednesday. On Tuesday, Jesus clears the temple. And in verse 18, it says they are seeking how to kill him. And by Friday, he's dead. But that's where we pick up the story in Mark 11, 27 through 33. That's where we're going to be today. Mark 11, 27. We're going to read through the whole thing and then come back and discuss it. Again, they entered Jerusalem. As Jesus was walking through the temple area, the leading priest, the teachers of religious law, and the elders came up to him. They demanded, "By what authority are you doing all these things? Who gave you the right to do them?" Jesus responded and said, "I will tell you by what authority I do these things if you answer one question." Oh, snap. Here we go. Did John's authority to baptize come from heaven, or was it merely human? Answer me. They talked it over among themselves. They had a holy huddle. If we say it was from heaven, he will ask, "Why didn't you believe it?" But do we dare say it was merely human? Because they were afraid of what the people would do. Everyone believed that John was a prophet. So they finally replied, "We don't know." And Jesus responded, Then I won't tell you by what authority I do these things. Verse 27, let's go back to the beginning. All the bigwigs were called in. The priests, the elders, the religious teachers, and they all questioned Jesus, saying, "By what authority are you doing this? Who gave you the right?" And in modern day terms, we would say things like, "Who do you think you are to come in here and do what you just did?" And there's just something to point out here that you guys have to see. These religious leaders never came to Jesus seeking the truth. They never came asking genuine curiosity questions, looking for evidence. The Pharisees, the priests, the scribes, the religious teachers never came humble. They never came wondering. They had already had their minds made up before they ever asked a single question. The scripture specifically tells us repeatedly they were trying to trap him.
It tells us through the Gospels, they were trying to catch him in a loophole. They were trying to trick him to get him killed. They did not come questioning Jesus with curiosity, looking for answers, looking for evidence, searching for truth. They already had their minds made up of what God was like and who he is. So here is where we have to be careful. We have to be careful to not let preconceived ideas up on the screen about God push out what is in God's word. This is harder for you than you think. We have to be careful to not let our minds have preconceived ideas about who God is, what he's like, push out what God actually says. Many of you are going through the chronological reading, and we are coming across things that do not fit into what we thought God was like. And you know what we do with that? We argue with the scripture. Rather than argue with, well, maybe the way I thought was wrong. If you have your view of God from a service that you attended, even if it was 100 times, rather than his voice, his very words, you have a skewed view of God. If you have your view of God from your own imagination or from anything else other than his very words, you have a skewed view of God. All of us have a bend wanting our conclusions to be true. This is why husbands and wives argue so much. We all have a bend wanting our conclusions to be true, and we are we willing to reshape them when truth says something different? It's the hardest thing to say, maybe I was wrong, when God's word says something different. Anyways, these people were not willing to reshape their view of God. They were not in this conversation looking for answers. They were not in this conversation seeking truth. They were in this conversation to try to get Jesus killed. Verse 29 says, they demanded, what are you doing? Why are you doing all these things? And Jesus says, I will tell you by what authority I do these things if you answer one question. I just love this. Now pause here. The fact that Jesus stood the test of every single thing they threw at him testifies that he was something else. Can you imagine having religious lawyers attack you? They would have sunk any one of us. They would have sunk the best of them. The fact that Jesus stands up to every one of their tests proves he's not like us. Who do you pay taxes to? Should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? We would have failed. But I don't know. Crucify him. A guy has, a wife has 7 husbands. Come on, Jesus. In the resurrection, who's she going to be married to? We would have sunk. They ask us this question, by what authority you do these things? We would have failed. Our kids will ask us why questions. And do you know what our answer is?
Because I said so.
Jesus could have said that and he would have been right. But he doesn't. Jesus is the divine Son of God and the second person of the Trinity. And he says, I will answer you if you just answer one question for me. John's authority, was it from heaven or was it just man-made? So basic. One question. Did John the Baptist come from heaven? Did he have his authority appointed by God, or was he a self-appointed lunatic? And they simply go, oh no, now we have to think. They turn around, they gather, discuss it among themselves. If we say it's from heaven, he's going to say, well, why didn't you believe it? And if we say it's from man, what are the people going to think? They might stone us. So here's the fascinating thing. Jesus asked them one simple question. He literally gives them 2 choices. This isn't even an open-ended question. And they can't answer. He gives them the right answer, and he gives them a wrong answer. That's genius. It's the most basic question that they have to answer. And it is the most basic question that each one of you must answer for yourself. Is Jesus and his authority, is it from heaven or is it merely just a religion? And the degree to which you answer that is the degree that you will listen to his word and make him the Lord of your life. It's just great. They respond, we don't know. We don't know. That's how they respond. And when they respond, we don't know, they are actually rejecting John. They are actually rejecting Jesus. And here is the wild thing. They know the right answer. They know that John's message was from heaven, and they don't want it to be true. So they say, we don't know. I'm so fascinated by Jesus. I don't even know why this is my job. It's not a job to me, but I'm so fascinated by Jesus, and from the bottom of my heart, there is no one else I would rather give my life to. I mean, you can search. Go for it. Search for anybody in all of history and all of existence that you would rather trust your life with than Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. I remember growing up, just being honest here, and I remember growing up in the church thinking there are fun things over here, fun things like remote control cars and go-karts and mini bikes. And then there's Jesus, church. And in my brain, Jesus is just all the don't do's. Don't do this, don't do that. And he's the rule guy. But because I don't want to go to hell, I better go to church. I so regret ever thinking that way. Get to know Jesus. Get to know him. He's not a down trade for your life. If you want to look where your decisions will take you, it's pretty embarrassing. If you want to look what following Christ takes you, it's always an uptrade. And I must apologize for the crassness of this. But the dumbest decision you could possibly make in your life is not following Jesus. I have to say it that plainly. The dumbest decision that you could possibly make in your life is trying to hang on to it and to say, maybe there's another way. If Jesus isn't the Lord of your life, who is? Who is the final authority in your life? Who is the one that you listen to? You have someone that you're obeying. Don't give the Sunday school answer that Jesus is the Lord of your life and then never listen to his voice, never pick up his word, never pursue him. Just be honest about what has your heart, what has your affections. Now, I want you to shape your view of Jesus from his word. Now, listen to this. I'm just going to fire through some of these. Let your heart be shaped by it. Matthew 28:18. This is authority. Jesus came and just told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. What does that leave out? Nothing. Mark 4:41. The disciples were absolutely terrified. Who is this? They asked each other. Even the wind and the waves obey him. He has authority over demons. Mark 1:27. Amazement gripped the audience, and they began to discuss what just happened. You know where this takes place? He just cast out a demon. You guys want to know where this takes place? Any guesses? In church. The first demon that Jesus cast out is in the synagogue. They were gathering for church. Want to look to your neighbor? Amazement gripped the audience. They began to discuss, what sort of new teaching is this? They asked excitedly. Even has such authority that evil spirits obey his orders. He has authority to forgive your sins. Mark chapter 2. So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Jesus turned up and said to the paralyzed man, stand up, pick up your mat, and go home. He has authority over all rulers and over all nations. John 19, Pilate tried to flex on Jesus. Pilate said, "Why don't you talk to me? Don't you realize," Pilate said, "that I have the power to release you or the power to kill you?" And Jesus said, "You would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin." Jesus never asked for permission to do anything ever. John 5, he has power over the resurrection and all who he wishes to resurrect. The Father has life in himself, and he has granted that same life-giving power to his Son. Who speaks like this? It's either he's nuts or he's true. And he has given him authority to judge everyone because he is the Son of Man. Your life is eternally successful when Jesus is the authority of your life. We all panic. Am I doing the right thing? When Christ is the authority over your life, you cannot go wrong. You cannot walk down the wrong path. And only you can answer this last question. But take it serious. Up on the screen, what is personally keeping you from making Christ the ultimate authority in your life? That's the most serious question you will ever ask yourself. What is keeping you personally from making Christ the ultimate authority in your life? You have reasons, but they're not good ones. That's all that life really boils down to, is who are you going to listen to? Who's going to be the voice in your life that you obey? You're going to obey something. It's because you think this guy's cool, or you have some interest over here, or some other reason, but it's Christ or it's not. Let's pray. I pray that we would humble ourselves, me included, and that we would realign with what is true. I pray that we would take you at your word. Some of the things that we read are even hard to understand. You say in Isaiah 60 that this is the one to whom you look, the one who is humble and trembles at your word. I pray that church wouldn't be full of people who just come on Sundays, but people who truly love you. I ask that you would reveal to each of us that you are more than we ever could imagine. I ask that you would shock our hearts from being entertained with lesser things and be fascinated with you. And would you be pleased to answer this because it brings honor to your name. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.